Our text for the whole of today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14 that Graham read for us earlier. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Now, those of you who worship here with us regularly, Sunday by Sunday, we'll know that on Sunday mornings we've been going through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We began in September of 2009. And next week, God willing, we'll be picking up that series again as we look finally at chapters 15 and 16. And over the last few weeks, as I've been reading through those chapters and beginning to do some outline preparation for those messages, as I was reading through chapter 16, it struck me that verses 13 and 14 are worthy of particular emphasis. And I had in mind that as we went through those final two chapters, we would actually spend at least one message looking exclusively at those two verses. And then as I looked in a bit more detail, I thought, well, maybe it'll need two. And then as I was thinking about what I would speak upon today, it struck me that they would actually make two very good verses for us to concentrate on today. So we're kind of taking them out of sequence in our series. But this morning, we're going to consider verse 13. In many ways, this is kind of one long sermon divided into two halves. The first half this morning, as we look at verse 13. And then, God willing, concluding this evening as we look at verse 14. And between these two verses, we see five important principles which we need to take note of on the 2nd of January 2011. But this morning we'll look at the first four. Four principles for a new year. Now, the Corinthian church had all kinds of problems. All in all, Paul takes 29 chapters to try and straighten them out and deal with the issues that they have. And you know, all of those problems could have been avoided if these five principles had been firmly established amongst them. And so we as a church and you as a Christian can be sure that if you will take a little time today and perhaps over the next few days to consider these simple yet profound principles, we and you can be established at the start of a new year on a firm foundation upon which you can proceed as we seek to live and serve the Lord in 2011. So we're looking this morning at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Well, let's look at the first of those four principles. Watch. The word means to be awake, to be wide awake, to be alert, to be vigilant. It's an expression that's used 22 times in the New Testament. You cannot be a sleepy Christian. You cannot be a Christian who walks around with your eyes half closed. You cannot be a drowsy believer. You need to watch. You must be alert and awake. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11, we saw, if you recall back then, that some of the Christian believers were allowing themselves to become physically drunk on wine. Physically, they were unable to function correctly. Now, Paul here is talking about a spiritual alertness. But in order to remain spiritually alert, we need to have our physical faculties awake and alert also. I don't think it's a problem for too many here. But physical slothfulness or physical laziness, not being able to get to bed at a reasonable time so that you can get up at a reasonable time in the morning, whether it's for school or for uni or for work or for church on a Sunday morning, or to have a quiet time first thing before you attend to the rest of your day. Having a physical slothfulness or laziness will not help in being spiritually alert and spiritually awake. One thing I've discovered from reading biographies is that in most cases, those who have achieved much for the Lord disciplined themselves in this area. Many of them were up early, spending time with the Lord before they attended to the things of the day. It's not uncommon when you read some of the biographies of those who the Lord has used in a marvelous way to find that 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning was their usual time for waking, to spend time with the Lord, to spend 1 hour, 2 hours with the Word open in front of them and in prayer before they attended to the rest of the day. It is no coincidence that such people were used mightily of the Lord. It's no coincidence at all. We do well to take a leaf out of their example. Maybe that's something that some of us need to work on in 2011. But when Paul says watch, he is talking about a spiritual alertness, having a spiritual attentiveness to everything that's going on around us. As it one Thessalonians 5:6, where we read, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be alert. Be aware of what's going on. It's what the Christian life requires of each of us, so that you can think and act with wisdom and discernment, not be taken by surprise or caught unawares. Now, it's interesting. In one particular chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 6, on a number of occasions, verse 2, verse 3, verse 9, verse 15, verse 16, verse 19, Paul says, don't you know? And basically what he's saying to them is, you should have been aware of this. You should have known about this. How could you allow yourselves to end up in that kind of situation? You should have known. You should have been alert and awake to those problems that you've allowed yourselves to go into. Don't you know? Why is it that we put so much emphasis on systematically teaching through the Bible? It's so that you know, so that you can be alert and awake and keen. It's because we're told to watch. But how can you watch if you don't know what you're supposed to be watching for? In 1 Corinthians 15, we read, awake to righteousness. Awake to it. It doesn't just happen. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. Those of you who recently have taken a driving test, we'll know that unlike the days when I took a driving test, before you can sit in a car on the road with an examiner by your side, you have to go into the classroom first and pass an exam. And one of the things that you do in that exam is make sure that you have sufficient knowledge and understanding of certain aspects of driving before you can actually go out and do it in practice. And that's how it is in the Christian life and in the church. And Paul exhorts us to be alert. He's not the only one. The Apostle Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have to watch out for him. Be aware of how Satan operates. Read your Bibles and find out Part of the driving test in the classroom is to watch a video. And it's a computer-based one, you won't be surprised to know, and you have your little mouse with your computer, and you watch this video, and the video is of someone driving a car along a street. And what you're supposed to do is watch out for any potential hazards that might be coming up. And you have to click on the mouse as soon as you see one. And the test, of course, is to see that you can drive in such a way as to anticipate potential hazards and pitfalls, and by doing so, to avoid an accident. And you do it in the classroom on a computer before they put you in a car with an examiner. And Peter tells us not only that we have an adversary, an enemy, but we're to watch out for how he works. And we're to be aware. And it's a bit like that exam in the driving test, that you can actually look out and you can see the dangers coming because you're alert and you're aware. You're not walking around as a Christian with your eyes half closed, staring at your feet. You've got your eyes raised and you're looking ahead. Awake, watch. We can avoid falling into many of Satan's traps if we'll only stay awake. Now, there's a number of occasions when this exhortation to watch appears in the Bible. Mark 14, watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You see, there often is no excuse for Christians getting themselves entangled into something which they know is a weakness in their armor. If you're truly awake, you can avoid temptation. And prayer is a very important part of that. Watch and pray. Some of us need to learn that if we really are alert, we will not find ourselves in those situations where we fall into temptation, because you've taken an alternative route long ago, because you're awake. We read in Revelation, it's one of the letters to the churches, it's the letter to the church in Sardis in Revelation 3. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Here's a church that's become, just in a state of apathy. Just rolling along. Be watchful is the rebuke, because you've stopped being watchful. You're just going along your own merry way. Well, I'm a Christian now. We're in a church. Everything's very nice and cozy. Warning bells should be clanging if we find ourselves in that position. Be watchful. Apathy is a problem for many Christians and for many churches. Listen, if you're not progressing forwards, you're slipping backwards. You must be very careful. There's no such thing in the Christian life as just standing still, marking time. We're on a continuous journey. We're running a race and there's a finish line to reach. There is no point in the Christian life where you can put your feet up and be content that you've done enough. Now, it's true, of course, your physical capabilities may diminish as you get older. Opportunities and circumstances to serve the Lord will change. Your mental faculties may decline. But you can and you must remain alert and awake as a Christian. Paul, when he writes to Timothy, he says this: preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. It tends to be Christians who aren't being watchful who get caught up in false teaching and in error. And Paul says to Timothy, be watchful. Don't let it happen. It too easily will. But be watching, be alert. And again, if you don't have a thorough grounding in the Word of God, how will you know false teaching when it comes along? We're to be watchful and alert Christians. Just two more things from the New Testament on this theme of being watchful. The Apostle Peter again, in 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. There it is again. Prayers. Watchful in your prayers. Prayer and watchfulness go hand in hand. Watchful Christians are prayerful Christians. Are you a Christian who is regularly in prayer? Both personal, private prayer and in corporate prayer, longing to meet with the Lord's people as well as spending time in prayer on your own. Those who are keen to pray will usually be the more watchful ones. And so if you're someone who's not regular in prayer, there's a good chance that you're not being as watchful as you should be in all of these other areas too. Some people talk about prayer as being the thermometer of the Christian church. It measures the temperature. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that prayer is the thermostat of the church. Prayer isn't what measures the temperature. Prayer is what sets the temperature. Prayer is what regulates the temperature. And if you're not watchful in prayer, then you've got a big problem in your life. And if we are not watchful in prayer as a church, we have a big problem as a church. Because watchfulness and prayer go hand in hand. And then one final one, Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus says that we are to watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And you need to watch and be ready, because one day Christ is going to return. Don't be caught out. Don't find yourself, Christian, in a compromised position when Christ returns. Don't let yourself be caught out. Let yourself be found doing the Lord's work when Christ returns. In whatever way that is, be about the Lord's business. Be living as God would have you live when Christ returns. Be in a state of readiness. And for us as a church, we are to be in a state of expectancy and purity when Christ returns for his bride. We're to watch and be ready. We are to be a watchful people. And it's all here in the Word of God. You want to know what to watch out for? Read your Bible. And if we will just allow ourselves to view everything through the window of the Bible, we will avoid so many errors and pitfalls that we will otherwise fall into. Be alert to the schemes of Satan. Be alert to what God would have you know and understand of himself and what he requires and expects of us. We are to watch. That's the first thing. Secondly, we're to stand fast in the faith. Great Bible commentator Charles Hodge said this: don't consider every point of doctrine an open question. That is a very important thing to remember. Because some people do. They think every single point of doctrine is open to discussion and debate. You're allowed your position on it, I'm allowed mine. You're allowed your interpretation, I'm allowed mine. We can bring all things into the mix. No, we can't. Stand fast in the faith. Now, Christians sometimes we're accused of being narrow-minded and bigoted. But the Bible calls it standing fast in the faith. Standing firm. And it's standing fast in the faith. Not in faith, the faith. That body of teaching which God has revealed in his word. And it's an eternal and unchanging word. And we're to stand fast in it. Jude says that this is a word once for all delivered to the saints. In exactly the same way as Christ died once for all, God's word has been given once for all. And of course, Jesus is the word once for all. Some people, both within the Christian community and outside of it, seem to think that the role of the church is to mould its doctrine so that it fits society, so that we never rub people up the wrong way. So, for example, when society decides that it's now acceptable for a man and a woman to live together and sleep together outside of marriage, we should be flexible on that issue too. But the Bible says stand fast. When society decides that homosexuality is to be an accepted, normal, legitimate lifestyle, society says we should be flexible on that issue too. The Bible says stand fast. And I could mention so many other things. And the world says, you should be flexible on these things too. Don't be rubbing us up the wrong way. And the Bible says, stand fast. And in your personal life, at home, at school, at uni, with your colleagues at work, when their behavior and conduct oversteps the mark, they say, don't be too worried to join in. You'll even hear Christians say this. Don't be too worried to join in with all of their activities, because you need to let them see that really you're just a normal guy, just a normal girl, just like they are. Even though you're a Christian, you're just a normal guy, a normal girl. But the Bible says that there are certain types of behavior and there are certain types of attitude that are unacceptable to a Christian, and they will always be unacceptable to a Christian. And there are, as we've just been reminded with the children, there are new behaviors and there are new attitudes, there are new motives, there are new affections and new loves which must now be adopted by the Christian. And the Bible says about all these things, stand fast. Don't be moved. And in the Christian world, some will offer alternative definitions of the gospel. New ways to think about Christ and his redemptive work. But you are to know and stand fast in what the Bible says the gospel is. Some will try to redefine what it is to be saved and born again. But you are to know and stand fast in what the Bible says the gospel is. Some will try to redefine what church is, how a church is to be structured and organized, what the role and the purpose of the church is. But you are to know and stand fast in what the Bible says about the church of Christ. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught. Because, says the apostle, these things are right and true. God's eternal, unchanging word. Stand fast in it. Don't be shaken. Don't be tossed to and fro in the wind. Stand firm. Writing to the Philippian church, Paul says, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy, my crown, stand fast in the Lord. These instructions are for those who are in Christ. We are to stand fast in him. Stand fast in Christ. Again in Philippians, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. We are to stand fast together in the same things. It's through the Spirit of God, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. As we enter a new year, for us as a local church and for every local church, we are to strive to stand fast in one spirit and to be of one mind together. Now, how on earth do we decide what we are to agree on? We come to the Bible and we agree on this. How are we to decide whether we go this way or that way? We come together in prayer and we seek the Lord's face, because we are to stand fast in him. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the freedom that Christ has brought. He set you free from the bondage of sin. He set you free from having to strive to please God, to work to be accepted. Stand fast in the liberty that Christ brings. In Colossians, Paul writes, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. There's another example of a good prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How on earth can we stand perfect and complete in the will of God? It's if we are watchful Christians. Do you want to be in the will of God? I'm sure you do. You need to be a watchful, prayerful Christian in Christ, in the Word. And together as a local church, surely these are things that we desire more than anything else, that we are found to be in Christ and in his will, pleasing him. We need to heed these great exhortations. And as we were reminded from our reading in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, having done all to stand. As you run the race throughout 2011, you're to stand fast. Then thirdly, be men of courage is my third point. Now in our New King James Bible, it says be brave. Be brave seems a little bit, well, a bit bland to me somehow. The Authorized Version has a great phrase, quit you like men. And the NIV puts it like this, be men of courage. That is actually a better translation than simply be brave. Be men. Be of courage. That's it. That's got a bit more bite to it, hasn't it? It's a bit more meaning to it. Be men and women of courage. You see, if you're going to watch and if you're really going to stand firm, you'll need to be men and women of courage. It's a call to courage that comes with maturity, a confidence and a conviction, both in God and in his word. Do you have that? Is that you? It means to have put away childish things. Now, one characteristic of young children is that they're often incapable of discerning danger. That's what makes them so vulnerable. That's why they need the constant supervision of mum and dad or another adult. Why is it that a child will crawl towards an open fire? Why is it that a child will try to grab hold of that handle of the saucepan on the cooker? It's not because they're brave. It's not because they're courageous. It's because they can't discern the danger. We are not to be like children as Christians. Courage only exists where there is comprehension and understanding. Otherwise, it's not courage, it's ignorance. We're not to be ignorant, but we are to be courageous. We read in Ephesians 4, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's it. That's where courage lies. Jesus was a courageous man. He was a courageous man. And his courage came from his understanding of and his confidence in his Heavenly Father and his Word. His courage came from being watchful. He was a watchful man. How he watched and prayed, for example. His courage came from standing fast in the Word. Remember when Satan came to tempt him? His rebuke on each occasion was, "It is written." That's where his courage came from. And as we run the race together through 2011, we are to have that same confidence in God and in his Word. As we see in Christ, we are to be men and women of courage. And then finally, we are urged to be strong. In some respects, a better way to put that is be strengthened. We read of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 2, the child grew and became strong in spirit. That's what Paul's getting at. Strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. And that's how it was possible. A strong inner man through the grace of God. Paul writes to Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And that's the strength that Paul is speaking of. When he writes to the Colossians, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me ask you, do you want to be pleasing to God? Do you want to be fruitful in every good work? Do you want to be increasing in the knowledge of God? Strengthened with all might. Well, I could do with a bit of that, couldn't you? Strengthened with all might. According to his glorious power. That's the Christian strength. That's the strength that Paul is calling us to be strong in. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. It's having the strength to overcome the flesh, because although we've been born again, as we were reminded with the children, having been made a new creation in Christ Jesus, we do still battle with our sinful flesh while we walk this earth. Our bodies will still react when we're faced with temptation. We will still have lusts, which if we allow them to, they will draw us away from our pursuit of God and our pursuit of righteousness. And so we're to recognize and confess before the Lord our weaknesses and our struggles and to acknowledge that we are in need of his glorious power. We are to see that we have no resource within ourselves to fight this battle and to draw instead upon the glorious resources of heaven. And we do that by being watchful. We do that by standing fast. We do that by being courageous as Jesus was courageous and putting our hope and our trust and our confidence and our conviction in God and his Word. Will you do that this year? This is a strength which comes by humbling ourselves before the Lord. We read in Psalm 27, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart." He will do it. He will strengthen you. So said the psalmist, "Wait, I say, on the Lord." Wait on him. So here's an exhortation for us as we enter a new year, and it stretches out before us with all its great unknowns. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. But We also do need to understand that it is possible to do all of those things and yet be the most irritating, ungodly, and discouraging Christian on the planet. It is, you know. You can watch, you can stand, you can be courageous and brave, and you can do all those things and come across as someone who's just looking to pick a fight all the time. You can, you know. And you can do all those things and come across as the most self-righteous, holier-than-thou that ever existed. You can. You can do all that and be the biggest turn-off to the Christian faith that anyone is ever likely to meet. How so? If you forget that all of those things are to be done with love. If you forget that, then you can just wreck everything. And if the Lord spares us through the day, as we gather this evening, we'll be remembering that in all of these things, let all that you do be done with love. Let us pray. Father, we stand before you. We have your holy word open before us. Lord, we plead, impress these things upon our hearts. Change us. Break our stubbornness. Give us hearts and minds, O Lord, that will yield to your word. We commit ourselves to you, O Lord, at the beginning of this new year. We pray that you would establish us upon firm ground, that we might do all things worthy of you in this year before us, to your glory and honor and praise. We pray in our Saviour's name. Amen.